Good morning. So nice to see you all this morning. My name is David, and I'm one of the pastors here. And we are so excited that you've decided to worship with us today, whether you are in the room or online. Welcome. Hey, if you want to follow along today, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. So you want to turn there in your Bible or your app or wherever you're following along, that would be great. While you're doing that, we're going to be receiving our offering. So if I can have the ushers please come down to the front. And while they're walking up, I just want to take a moment. I want to thank those of you who choose to give to God through VC. Whatever you give, however you give, whenever you give, it makes a difference. We really, truly believe that we are called to be a light, not just to people who come onto our campus, but in our community and all around the world. So when you give to God through VC, you give towards that mission of transforming ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. And it's not just on Saturday night or on Sunday morning, but 7 days a week. We are going after that mission, that calling that God has given us. And so when you give regularly and sacrificially, you give towards that mission. So thank you for doing that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for allowing us to worship you with song. And now, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to worship you with our finances, what we give. God, I pray that you take this money and that you multiply it for your kingdom, Lord, that you give us wisdom on how you'd like this money spent and used to expand your kingdom. And Lord, I pray as we open your word today, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would create a soil that is receptive to your truth today. And Lord, I pray for myself that you'd give me the gift of teaching, that I'd say the things that you want me to say, that you'd fill me the Holy Spirit so that I can only speak your truth today. We love you, Lord. We welcome you in this place, and we thank you for your already presence here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are currently in a series called Relationships Made Simple. And when I first heard the title of this series, I thought, man, that is such an interesting oxymoron that we're starting out with. Simple relationships. Because here's the thing, and most of us know this, relationships are extremely complex, at least at times. Why are they complex? Because people are involved, and people are complex. Relationships are complicated. Each person brings their own unique experiences and perspectives to each situation and every single individual relationship. But our hope is that during this series, we can look at God's truth, we look at his design for relationships and apply that truth to our relationships, bringing perspective, hopefully bringing some clarity and maybe even a little simplicity to even the most complicated of relationships. And so today we're going to talk about this topic that can be kind of a forgotten virtue in many relationships, not just in our culture, but even in the church. Today we're talking about the importance of honor in our relationships. You know, we live in a culture where honor seems to be optional. Honor is only reserved for those who have earned it. Honor, in many cases, seems to be something that we hand out based solely on merit. But as we're going to read today in the scriptures, God may have a different design, a different hope for his people. He may have a different hope for those who call him Lord when it comes to this area of honor. As we'll read today, God calls us to honor all people. And our text today is simple. It's not very long. It doesn't use very complicated language, but I can tell you as someone that's wrestled through this while I'm writing this message, it can be very complicated. It can seem a little bit overwhelming in its application because it is such a vast application that we must have when it comes to honor. But if we're willing to wrestle through it, if you're willing to stick around through it and really let God speak to you through his word today, I believe you will leave here with a profound perspective on this area of honor in our relationships. And so we're in 1 Peter 2:17. Peter says this, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So it's really important that we define this word honor before we go on. To honor is to hold in high esteem, to place value on or show respect. When we honor someone, we don't honor them to change them. We hold them in a high esteem. We treat them with a certain respect, a certain dignity. When we honor someone, we place value on them. Not because of who they are, not because of how they act toward us, but because of who they belong to. Our perspective should shift from an earthly perspective to a godly perspective. And if we allow God to shift our perspective to see things the way that he does, it will shift the way that we see people and the way that we see their value. You know, it's kind of like this. Take a look at these items right here. That's a plate, spoons, and a fork. I know, next level learning. Now, these are simple items, right? Maybe if we go to Cost Plus World Market or Target or something like that, we could probably pick these items up for 30 or 40 bucks or something ridiculous. But what if I told you that these simple items belong to an historic figure? Would that change your perception of their value? Well, these specific items, these particular items belong to Mahatma Gandhi. And so they sold at auction for, I don't think you're going to guess how much, $94,000 for those four items. Now, what about these? Comb, scissors. Vintage looking, kind of cool. I looked them up on Amazon, something kind of similar to this. Get them for about 25 bucks. But what happens when you find out who owned this particular set of comb and scissors? Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon. These sold at auction for $32,000 recently. My final example is this ratty cardigan. If it were new, Target, Old Navy, wherever you like to shop, 20 bucks, 25 bucks. But with those stains and that cigarette burn that you probably can't see from where you're sitting, maybe $3, Goodwill or Savers, right? Well, what if I asked the question, who did it belong to? Well, it belonged to Kurt Cobain, the late singer of Nirvana, if you don't know who that is. Now, how much do you think that sold for? You will never guess, because I couldn't believe it. Sold for $334,000 at auction, 2019. That cardigan, you're not wearing that thing out. I'm just going to say it. Now, notice that our perception of value for these totally common items may have changed a little bit as we became familiar with who they belong to. You see, they can be a bit outdated, a little undesirable, a little vintage. But on some level, we can at least understand why their value has increased. Well, the same is true when we honor other people. You see, we assign value to other people, not because of what they do, not because of what they look like or sound like, but because of what God has done, that he has created them and that he values them. One of the most countercultural things we can do, and we're told to do as Christians, is give other people what they don't deserve. Jesus tells us to forgive when we're wronged. He tells us to turn the other cheek when we're offended. He says, pray for your enemies when they persecute you. And so we all live in this tension between what we feel like we should do, how we feel like we should respond, and what Jesus tells us to do, and how Jesus tells us to respond. And you know what? That tension that we feel is no different when it comes to honoring in relationships. So this very idea of honoring other people can bring up some very real questions. You may protest a little bit and say, well, how can I honor a boss who's not a good boss? As a matter of fact, they're not even a good person. How can I place value on a parent who abandoned me or neglected me? How can I show respect for someone who doesn't seem to have any respect for me? Well, today we're going to peel apart these words of Peter that we read earlier, bit by bit. We're going to look at the implications and the applications for each part of what Peter said. So the first thing Peter says in verse 17 is this very large blanketed statement. He says, honor all people. So let's start by looking at just a few categories of relationships that are well understood in Scripture, but are not explicitly mentioned in this verse. And so this first group is what I would like to call those entrusted to our care. Those entrusted to our care. This first group we are discussing today are most influenced to honor others by our decision to first honor them. As someone in authority over others, we have this office of power. We have a position of influence, whether that's as parents, maybe it's as a supervisor or an overseer, or maybe it's just a leader in the community. But honoring those entrusted to our care, it may feel easy, right? On one hand, it can be quite easy, but on the other, it can be quite difficult. And we know this because honor is really easy to give when honor is given. Respect is easy to give when respect is given. But what about when that's not the case? Because the truth is, respect or value isn't always shown to authority. Are you shocked? All the parents said amen. As parents, we can sometimes see our children as the source of our problem. But sometimes, as parents, we can dishonor our children by not acting or reacting in a way that honors them. The Apostle Paul warns about this in Ephesians 6. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." And this instruction from the Apostle Paul is important because it echoes God's heart for us. Hebrews 12:6 says this, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." Much like love, honor is not passive, and honor is not always pleasant. Honoring our children, it requires our attention. It requires our honesty. As God is our example, discipline is a necessary part of honoring our children, but it must always, always be accompanied with, run tandem with, quality time for a child to truly see the heart of the discipline and the parent that is doing the disciplining. Honoring our children is rooted in the value we show them, not just in our correction, but more importantly, in our connection with them. We honor our children by connecting with them and growing with them, as teaching them as they grow. Another relationship we may encounter where honor is necessary is this area where we may oversee somebody. We may supervise someone. The Apostle Paul speaks about how we should conduct ourselves in this position of authority. It's in Colossians 4. "Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven." Now, I hope I don't have to translate this into modern terms like I have to address the elephant in the room. Slavery is wrong. Paul was addressing a different time in history, but the principle is still here. So I'm going to read this in our modern context today. In our modern context, the parallel to a master is a boss or a supervisor. You may be one of them. And they're talking to a worker, not a slave, a worker or an employee. As supervisors, we must understand that this place of influence requires us to honor. And here's the thing about a supervisor. Here's the thing about being a leader. Leaders, we go first. We set the standard in honoring other people. As an overseer, honor allows us to elevate. It allows us to empower those that are placed in our care. It allows those we supervise to be heard and to feel well led in a loving way, in an honoring way. When we supervise in this way, it's a place where honesty and accountability are a healthy expression of a professional relationship. Honor starts by recognizing each employee, each volunteer, whatever you oversee, as a valued person by God. And as an overseer, God is entrusting us, ultimately, with someone that he loves. And so we must be very diligent in honoring those that we oversee. The last group we're going to talk about today in this area of people that may be entrusted to our care is caring for the poor, caring for the down and out, the marginalized. This group of people is at the very heart of Jesus' ministry and the gospel. And just like any group who is entrusted to us, if we want to honor them, we must be able to truly see them, not by asking the question, what can this person do for me? But what can we do for them? How can I honor these people? How can I honor God by the way I honor these people? Proverbs 14:31 says this, "Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him." If we oppress the poor, we insult God, but helping the poor honors him. We honor God by meeting the practical and spiritual needs of the poor, by providing resources and dignity to them. You know, we have a wonderful compassion building, and so we have an awesome heritage of corporately honoring the poor, of giving them dignity, giving them resources. But you know what? The real challenge is how we honor them in our privacy, how we honor them in our private lives, how we honor them when we're walking into the grocery store or we see them on a street corner. This is the true test of honor. I'm so glad that our church is, we have a compassion building that's dedicated 7 days a week to serving the poor. And that's great. But at the end of the day, the true challenge comes with how each of us decide to honor the poor when no one else is looking. How each of us decide to honor the poor when it's difficult, when it's inconvenient, when it's messy. That's the true test of honor. Is when no one is looking, how do we honor the poor? And so Peter tells the church to honor all people. And we've covered a few of those groups, right? Children, employees or volunteers, and the poor. But also all people means the stranger in front of you in line at the grocery store. It also means the slow driver who's making you even more late for work. The Lord has convicted me of this one. Or the customer service representative that is putting you on hold again so they can talk to their supervisor. You see, Scripture, Peter, he says, honor all people. And if we look again at 1 Peter 2:17, we see this next group that he's bringing to our attention. He says, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Those alongside us are the brotherhood. The Bible is clear about this unique relationship that we hold together as a body of believers. Being considered part of this brotherhood is dependent on our faith in Jesus. Jesus defines it in Matthew 12. He says, Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother." I'm going to read that again. I missed in heaven. "Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." As Christians, when we find our salvation in Jesus, we take on this new identity. And this new identity should redefine so many things about us, because with Jesus, because of Jesus, we are called a child of God. And so as Christians, each of us is part of this community, of this family, the local church. And so we, as a family, have a responsibility to one another to honor, to encourage, to give value, to serve one another. But in case you haven't figured this out yet, this is just a disclaimer. Like all families, Christian families are not perfect. And perhaps one of the reasons why the church is so fragmented and people come and they go so flippantly from their local church is because we've lost track of honor in this type of relationship. We've lost track of honoring our brothers and our sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul encouraged us as believers to stick together. He says this in Romans 12. He says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." This is very important. If you call yourself a believer, if you call yourself a member of the local church, it's important that we take this in and to really think about this application. In Romans, Paul wrote, to honor someone, not the same, but above. He said, man, honor goes above. It doesn't just honor the same, it goes above. It ascribes value. It lifts up, it encourages. And so we all have to answer this question, how can we honor others above ourselves? I mean, is there someone at work that makes it difficult to show respect for? Maybe they don't live a lifestyle that we agree with. Maybe what they say or do, we don't really like. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you. Don't look at them right now. Are there certain groups? Are there certain types of Christians that you see? Maybe not in this body, but maybe outside. Maybe you see them online, whatever. Maybe they dress a certain way. Maybe they say certain things. Maybe they vote a certain way. And so what we decide to do is we decide to dishonor them with our words. We decide to dishonor them with our actions. You know, we feel wronged. No matter what we believe, it's really tempting to want to strike back with actions that don't honor other people. But here's the announcement for the church. Your brothers and your sisters are not your enemy. We have but one enemy, and his name is Satan. And there is nothing he would like more than to divide the church with things like pride, lying, gossiping, cheating, because these things dishonor the brotherhood, and ultimately they dishonor God. And so we must be very careful to guard our hearts and our minds against this kind of thinking as we pursue Jesus and his purposes together. Loving the brotherhood is a difficult thing. If it's not difficult yet, it will be at some point. But it's absolutely an essential part of walking out our faith in community with other people. So recapping, we've looked at these people, these groups that have been entrusted to us, those that are alongside us, perhaps peers, certainly Christians. And the last group Peter mentions in verse 17, as we look back, he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood. And the last group, he says, honor the king. This is our last group to honor. Those in authority over us, the king. Now, the king in this instance is not the king, right? It's not Jesus. This is referring to an earthly king. The king is literally the ruler and also those in authority. You know, as I read this, perhaps as you read this today, there's a bit of a wrestling going on. In many ways, I consider this to be the lost honor, not just in our culture, but also in the church. Not just with unbelievers, but also believers. You know, on one hand, if we are the authority, we want to ensure honor. Right? But if we're under authority, this is where we may struggle. And if you're a parent, if you're anything like me, you're going to read this next verse extra loud to your children as much as you possibly can. Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. It says, honor your father and mother. We love this one, parents, I know. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. I didn't realize how much I paraphrase this to my son. Son, you better listen to me or it won't go well for you and your life will be short, right? I didn't realize that, but you know, that's just the Holy Spirit right there convicting me. You know, we love this commandment as parents. We love it, we throw it around. If we could get a bumper sticker and we knew our kids would read it, we'd slap that thing on the mirror in the bathroom all day long. Why? Because we see the value in it. We see the value in honoring those placed in authority over us. We're happy to tell our children this because we care. But here's the thing. Those early years, they fade. And this is where the problem with authority begins in every human heart. Since the beginning of time, humanity has had trouble honoring authority placed over them. We read about it throughout the Bible, and you know what? The human heart hasn't changed. This isn't a new problem. This isn't a modern problem. This is a heart problem. As Christians, we must be very careful how we honor those placed in authority over us. Because those in authority over us, it might be a boss at work. Perhaps it's our parents. Maybe it's an elder. Maybe it's a pastor, a church leader, and yes, even the government, even civic leaders. They all fall into this category of authority over us. Now, you might be like drawing the line in the sand, and I get it. You might be thinking, my boss, he's a tyrant. She's a tyrant. They're not good people. You know, my parents, they abandoned me. They were absent. They didn't care about me. And the government, don't even get me started on the government. We're not going there today. Everyone in authority has failed me. So what if those in authority over me are not worthy of honor, that I don't feel that they're worthy of honor? Well, let's read on in 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter 2:18. This is the verse directly after the one we're focusing on today. It says this: servants, employees, sons, daughters, citizens, be submissive to your masters, those in authority, with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also the harsh. That word harsh comes from the Greek word skolios. It's where we get the name scoliosis, right? A bending of the spine, a crooked spine. And some of you might be thinking, man, Peter, you know, he's not alive now. He didn't get through COVID. You know, he didn't live in 2020. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what it's like. Man, it's hard being alive today. He doesn't know what it's like being me. He didn't have a boss like me. He didn't have parents like me. He's not living the circumstances we're living today. He's not seeing the news on television every day. He's not seeing any of this. And you're right. He wasn't alive today. But you know who the ruler was when Peter penned these words? You know who the ruler was? Nero. Somebody got it right. Nero was famous for the way that he treated Christians. And he wasn't famous for how well he treated Christians. In fact, he was famous for how poorly and cruelly he treated them. This is a photo. It's called a photo of a painting called Nero's Torches. Now, you may be wondering, where are the torches? This is a picture of a Roman party, by the way. You may be wondering where these torches are. If you look a little closer, not sure if you can see them from where you're seated. These torches were people, human beings, alive. They were Christians. And they were placed on these stakes, and they were lit on fire to light the dinner parties of the elite of the day. And their only wrongdoing, the only reason they're tied to those stakes and burned alive, is because they broke the law. They broke the law of the emperor. They broke the law of Nero. They refused to deny their faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so they served as torches for these parties. And so Peter is providing this instruction. He's saying, honor the king. He's providing this instruction in the midst of the most unjust suffering that we can imagine. No one here can imagine what that's like. It was a remarkable time in faith. It was a remarkable time of strife for the church. But Peter wrote those words. Now, this is something we need to understand when it comes to honoring authority, the authority placed over us. Honor doesn't always mean obedience. There are some cases where we must honor authority, but also disobey their orders under certain circumstances. I mean, a great example of this is the Christians we just spoke about, who were turned into torches. You see, Nero, he had made it illegal to be a Christian. But Christians didn't change their faith. And so we must see that if the authority placed over us tells us to forsake our conscience by sinning against God, by doing something that is forbidden in his word, the Bible, we must, as Christians, disobey in this area, regardless of the cost. Because the Bible serves as God's word. The Bible, what God says, is the highest authority to Christians. And the problem was when we dishonor, the problem comes when we dishonor those in authority with our words. The problem comes when we curse them, when we say bad things about them in a way that takes away from their God-given value, regardless of if we agree or not. This is where the problem occurs. Now, I know this is difficult, But I believe that now more than ever, God is calling his people, the church, to be truly countercultural in the way we honor those placed in authority over us, even when no one else will, even those we disagree with or are suspicious of. Remember the setting of Peter's letter. Christians are being persecuted. They're being lit on fire, and they're alive. And he pens the words, honor the king. Honor those in authority. Even when it doesn't seem fair, even when it doesn't make sense, honor the king. Why? Because God placed them there. It is no accident. Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now, I think of all the different government authorities that have existed over the history of time, and man, there's not a lot of good ones. You know, this is difficult teaching, but this is in there for a reason. Paul wrote these words not just to make someone submit, because he has a higher calling. Man, the Holy Spirit put this in him to write. And we need to take this very seriously. You know, what I take from this as I read this today is I always have to remember that I may not understand, but I'm reassured that God is in control, that he is not surprised by any leader ever. He's not surprised by anyone placed in authority over us, that he actually knows exactly what is going on. And I can trust that he is working at all times, through the wrong and the right. Because here's the truth. Our true king is not a bad boss at work or a good boss at work. It's not a political leader. It's not even our pastor. Our king as Christians is Jesus. And he makes all things possible. He makes honoring all people absolutely possible. Jesus was the ultimate example of having all authority in heaven and on earth. Yet we see Jesus lay down that authority to accomplish the mission of God. You see, honor really makes no sense unless we see the authority that lies beyond those we honor. Which leads us to these two words that I haven't talked about yet in 1 Peter 2:17. And this really puts a bow on it. This really ties this section together. If we want to truly honor other people, we must fear God. We must fear God. You know, throughout Scripture, we are told to fear God. And Jesus sums up this importance well in Matthew 10. He says this, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Don't be afraid of people, because they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both your soul and your body in hell." You know, we don't spend a lot of time talking about the fear of God because it can be misunderstood. It's difficult teaching. But the Bible makes it central to our understanding of who God really is and what he's truly capable of. Proverbs 9:10 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. You know, as we begin to have this knowledge of God, about who he truly is, we begin to have a better understanding of this world that he created, of the people he created. Because if God really did create our planet, you know, not just our planet that we live on, but a universe so large that we have yet to truly find the end of it. But at the same time, he's also in every single detail of our life. He knows every single detail about you. He can number the hairs on your head. If he really is a God that is so big that he can hear everyone's prayer all at the same time, that he can know everyone's thoughts, yet he can weave them all together. He can weave all of our stories together, all things together for the good of those who love him. A God just not over our world, but a God so big, he's over the world beyond this world. Not just a God of life, but a God of death. A God who raises the dead. A God who heals broken bodies, who heals broken relationships and illnesses. This is the God that we worship. That is a God that we should fear. That's a healthy fear, because that is a capability beyond our understanding or imagination. This is not a bad fear, but simply an understanding of his power and his capability. It's an acknowledgement of God's great power, and also acknowledgement of his great love for each and every person. When we perceive the true power of God in all that he does, in all that he knows, it truly should change the way that we perceive the world around us. It should change the way that we navigate all kinds of different relationships that we see each and every day. Church, we have an opportunity to honor God first by choosing to honor each person. Whether they've been entrusted to us, we are working alongside of us, or they are in authority over us. Regardless of the differences, regardless of the difficulties, honoring people is simply honoring God, plain and simple. We don't honor people based on what they do for us. We don't honor people based on what we think of them. We honor them based on God's worth for them. And I can tell you that each person is worth giving his son to. Each person is worth Jesus to God. And so as we navigate these relationships, I want to encourage you to honor God. I want to encourage you to honor all people, and in doing so, truly honoring him who made them. Would you stand with me? Can I have the ministry team please come down to the front, please? You know, I know that this teaching on honor can be difficult. I know. I'm with you. But man, this is one of those things where God is saying, trust me. Understand who I am. It's okay. Sometimes this is just going to be an act of faith. But the scripture is pretty direct with this idea of honor and how we deal with it. And so wherever you are with this, I want to challenge you to ask God to show you these areas where maybe you're not honoring other people. He certainly did for me. I want to challenge you to kind of press into this. I know it's not comfortable, but I think it's a work that God wants to do in his church. And he's not done working on it yet. We have a ministry team here at the front and online. You click that request prayer button. But down here, we would love to pray with you, even if it's not about today. You know, if you need encouragement about the message today, please come down and get prayer. But if it's not about today, that's okay. We still believe that God heals today, that he heals relationships, that he heals broken bodies, that he heals emotional damage. And so I would just encourage you to come down to the front and receive prayer from some of these people. They would love to pray for you and talk with you and celebrate with you as you discuss your life with them. If you're new here, we'd love to welcome you. We have a guest welcome in the information center out in the foyer right after service. We have some leaders out there, some pastors out there to greet with you and answer any questions you may have about Vineyard Church North Phoenix. Let's pray. God, I pray for everyone in here, everyone listening to the message, whether they're in the room or online, Lord, I pray that you really penetrate hard hearts today. Lord, that you illuminate the dark corners. Lord, would you shine your light and your truth on all that we do and all that we are? I pray for every relationship, all the different complexities that can happen. Lord, I pray for your truth to shine through. Lord, we pray for healing over brokenness. We pray for freedom over cultural influence. And we pray, Lord, that we honor you by honoring other people, that we really see our life as just a way to point to you. And so God, would you help us do that? Would you fill us? Would you challenge us this week? And Lord, would your grace just be abundant? We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word and your truth and your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, see you next time.